Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to First Strike, First Look here on VSiN. Dave Ross with you and joined as always by Lou Finocchiaro. And Lou, I feel like I haven't seen you in 10 years. The UFC takes a week off and it feels like, man, we don't get to talk about these fight cards. Did you enjoy your non-UFC week off?
It was a great week off. And to be honest with you, I really didn't even think about it until Friday crept up, and it's the normal day of First Strike and my podcast, and I was vermished because I had nothing to do. But I'm glad to be back in the rhythm, glad to be back on with you, and I appreciate the fact that you allow me to come on and talk about these fights early in the week.
I love it, Lou. It's a great practice. Mom and dad were like, hey, what happened to First Strike? I said, hey, we were just off for a week because the UFC was off, but we are back in business here on a Tuesday. Let's talk about this fight card, Lou, because you look at Ciryl Gane against Tytu Ivasa in the main event, and then you have the Grim Reaper back in there against Marvin Vettori, Robert Whittaker. I mean, this is a loaded non-pay-per-view fight card, certainly at the top. Gane is a massive, massive favorite, over a $5 betting favorite as we sit here on a Tuesday against Tytu Ivasa. And we understand why, right? With the heavyweight division, the skill set that Ciryl Gane has, and maybe the lack of skill set that Tytu Ivasa has, but we know what type of puncher he is. Do you give him a puncher's chance, or do you think this is aptly priced?
Well, first of all, you have to give Tuivasa the puncher's chance, especially in this, his second kind of run in the UFC since he decided to train a little bit. So he comes a little more motivated, a little more focused. He's training. He has the puncher shot. The odds indicate that he's got somewhere to a 12 or 16% chance of winning. I think his chances to land a Sunday shot might be just a little bit greater than that. But overall, Gane's ability to move, his well-roundedness, his athleticism, the fact that this is in his backyard and it's a five-round fight, all fare well for him. Tuivasa, on the other hand, in his last handful of fights, has not gotten past 3 minutes into the second round. So Gane is going to pick at him, make him work late, tire him out, and just like a bullfight, the matador will eventually streak on in for the kill.
Well, it's interesting what you say there, and that maybe he's going to take his time with a guy like Tytu Ivasa, because that's what you think he'd want to do, right? Is gas out the bigger puncher here and Tui and not standing there in the first round. To that end, if you like the challenger or the big underdog here in Tuivasa at +420 I'm seeing here on a Tuesday, do you think that he goes in for the like kill or be killed scenario here? And I'm not going to get stronger as the fight goes on, so I might have to throw more of those bigger punches earlier in the fight to try to stun Gane early with a big punch.
I believe that's Ty's approach to every fight he fights. He doesn't make any pretension about who he is or what he is. He's the most happy-go-lucky guy you can find. He goes in to fight, and after a round or two, he's going to wonder if Gane's really fighting him, because it's not going to be what the Black Beast gave him, a straight confrontation. And let's also understand that Gane has faced big, huge power punchers, Derek Lewis, who he also knocked out, and Ngannou, who beat him wrestling. So Ty is not going to wrestle because he doesn't have the cardio to wrestle. This is going to be a stand-up fight, and I think it's going to be a one-sided display by a guy in Gon that belongs in the top five of the heavyweight division before the big chasm that is everyone else, and that's where Ty belongs. Not to take anything away from him or his recent momentum, he doesn't have the caliber of arsenal to make it into that top five or six fighters, in my opinion.
Talking with Lou Finocchiaro, follow Lou on Twitter as I do, at GamBlue. Very quickly to that end, that Ciryl Gane could easily win this fight on points. Remember, it's a five-round, potential five-round matchup here as a main event. The over-under right here is 2.5, split right down the middle, juiced a little bit to the over at minus $1.25 on a Tuesday. What do you make of that number? Because if Gane keeps the distance from the charging challenger here in Tai Tuivasa, it would lend more towards the over. I don't know if Tui really wants to go more than 2.5 rounds here in any fight, let alone with a guy with the cardio of Ciryl. What do you make of that total right now on a Tuesday?
I don't think Ty's going to have anything to say about it, quite honestly. He's not going to be tamed inside 2.5, I don't think. I think it's going to take Gon a little more time to tire him out, and then through volume, take the steam out of the kid. I think that looking at it now, and I haven't put a lot of time into it, I'd love to know what the fight does not go to the distance is, or Gane inside the distance, because I'd be prone to try a middle here. 2.5 is low. I'd go over the 2.5. Fight does not go the distance and try and get them both, depending on what the price is for the fight to not go the distance. If it's minus 500, I got to go, you know, looking somewhere else.
You know, I look at the co-main event of the evening, which easily could be a main event for any other fight card, right, that doesn't have the big heavyweights here. When you look at the former champion here at middleweight in Robert Whittaker back in action against a title contender and Marvin Vettori, this is a very interesting matchup if they want to try to get back into the title picture here. Whittaker, a solid favorite at minus 230 here against the Italian challenger, and Vettori, the comeback there is plus $1.90. You know, Bobby Knuckles, we know what he likes to do. He wants to throw hands, and we're assuming Vettori wouldn't mind making this a wrestling match. How do you handicap this one here in this potential three-round matchup?
I see it as a fight similar to the first fight, to be honest, Dave. I think that Whittaker has pedigree that separates him from Vettori. I think Whittaker is the more well-rounded fighter, and Whittaker is the one that has the better wrestling, to be quite honest. Vettori is a bully, and he's fights angry, and that's not always great with that Italian emotion. He's clenched. He's easy to predict. He comes forward, and I think the skills of Whittaker, his footwork, his movement, his well-roundedness, set him up to have success against Vettori. What are Vittori's advantages here? I think the fact that he has some power, Whittaker's tasted power before, and the fight's three rounds advantage Vettori with that maniacal style.
You know, Lou, I look at the total too, and it does catch my eye that it's juiced this heavily to the over 2.5 rounds, minus 280 that we get deep into that third round. Is there any value on the comeback here of plus 230 and the under 2.5 rounds as we discuss on a Tuesday?
No, I could see these guys going for all five. I would tend to say, what's the Whittaker decision price? See what we could extract close to plus 120, minus 120 going that route.
It's a much better way to handicap it there. You and I will talk about more of that come Friday on First Strike with our hour-long preview. You know, I do look and I see John McDessie's on this card against Nasrat Hasparak here. That is a very intriguing matchup as we talk on a Tuesday. What do you make of that matchup here in one of the more high-profile fights on this card?
I'm glad you picked that fight. These are two guys that at one point in time trained together at TriStar up in Canada. Something happened, and since then, McDessie's been somewhat nomadic, looking to find a home, going from gym to gym to gym. He's currently at Fight Ready in Arizona, but he was here in Phoenix, and he was at, for a time, hanging around the MMA lab. So a rudderless ship is one thing, but McDessie's 37, 10 years older than Hawk Prost, 2 inches shorter. given up about 4 inches in reach, and overall as a lightweight is somewhat undersized to begin with. He's going to have the maturity factor over Hoc Prost, but even though Hoc Prost has lost his last two, he only loses to really high-caliber fighters. I see Hoc Prost mowing McDessie down here. In fact, last week on the Follow the Money show, I released Hoc Prost when he opened at minus 200. He's a little higher than that now. I would advise parlay use for him or for straight bettors. So don't be afraid.
It's great having you on Follow the Money with Mitch Boss and Paulie Howard weekdays here on the network. Let's talk about one other fight here very quickly, too. Charles Jourdain is back in there against Nathaniel Wood. It feels like this is going to be essentially an action-packed three-round bout here. Pretty tight lines in this one here. Nathaniel Wood plus $1.15 right now. Jourdain, the small favorite at minus $1.35. How do you see this one on a Tuesday?
I see this one interestingly. Wood, the kind of the guy that needs to be in close, would probably want to wrestle this fight. And Jourdain, the guy that's been busy, fought great competition, dubious loss in his last, but an action fighter. Now, we got to understand, too, that Wood just turned around from UFC London. So that's a short turnaround. I think that this fight is accurately priced. I do lean to the longer, taller Jourdain in this situation right now. But let's understand, these fights are in Paris. A lot of these fights have been set up for the Europeans to look very, very well, i.e. Hoc Prost. And in this fight, you got Wood, who's Englishman, fighting Jourdain, a Canadian that's shipping in and having to fight in. So if that thing is a close decision, you might be in trouble on the Jourdain side.
I'm so glad you brought that up, obviously, with this fight card being in France, because we've seen it in these UFC London cards sometimes. You know, the crowd will play a part of it. The big fight fans over there in Europe, this one in France. So you can understand if these fights go the decision. I always say, hold your breath when you get to the cards here, because you never know how they're going to see it, certainly when they're overseas as well. Very quickly, Lou, on a Tuesday, is there another fight that you've identified some advantage on maybe on a Tuesday that might change by the time we talk again on Friday?
I don't see that yet. I would like to say the UFC has done a good job, like in London, to match up the Europeans in favorable matchups. So watch out for that. Also, let's understand, of the first seven bouts on the card, six of them involve debuting fighters in one side or both. So those fights are probably not fights I'm going to be able to use. I'm going to probably be focused and relegated to the main card.
All right, very quickly, before I say goodbye until Friday, Lou, tell the people about the Bout Business podcast and what they get when they listen in.
It's a weekly podcast whenever there's a UFC card that Friday afternoon, wherever you get your podcast. Tune in to the Bout Business podcast. It's 16, 18 minutes of my final releases for the week completed after the weigh-in. So there are no excuses. Appreciate you mentioning it, and thanks so much for having me on today, Dave.
And nobody does a better job, Lou. Certainly when you watch those weigh-ins and what you can glean from that when we talk again on Friday for First Strike. Appreciate Lou Finicaro, Britton Hess, our producer, for putting it together. Thanks for listening to First Strike First Look. We'll see you on Friday for First Strike on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck. Your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.